By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Hussalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. For the viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to Rise and Shine this morning. Subhanallah, whatever the weather, whatever the situation, whatever the condition, we always say Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin our day by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers, there's so much to be said. Allahu Akbar, but first, let's inshallah move to the beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Each and every single morning we begin by listening to the Holy Quran. And alhamdulillah, this is a great blessing. We are blessed to be able to begin our morning by listening to the glorious Quran. Just by listening to the Quran, we are still given reward. We are still rewarded, alhamdulillah, for listening to the glorious Quran. But you must also remember that the a'mal of a person, the actions of a person, they are based upon his intentions. Yes, my dear viewers, before listening to the glorious Quran, please do make good intentions. I was thinking, well, what's the hadith? Innama a'malu bin niyyat. That the a'mal are based upon intentions. Make good intentions. The more good intentions they make, the more reward they shall be too. Inshallah, Azzawajal. Let's listen to the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon. شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
یا ایہا الذین اوتوا الکتاب آمنوا بما نزلنا مصدقا لما معکم قبل أن نطمس وجوها فنردها على أدبارها أو نلعنهم كما لعنا أصحاب السبت وكان أمر الله مفعولا.
اے کتاب والو, ایمان لاؤ اس پر جو ہم نے اتارا تمہارے ساتھ والی کتاب کی تصدیق فرماتا قبل اس کے کہ ہم بگاڑ دیں کچھ منہوں کو تو انہیں پھیر دیں ان کی پیٹھ کی طرف یا انہیں لعنت کریں جیسی لعنت کی ہفتہ والوں پر اور خدا کا حکم ہو کر رہے.
ان اللہ لا یغفر ان یشرک به ویغفر ما دون ذلک لمن یشاء.
بے شک اللہ اسے نہیں بخشتا کہ اس کے ساتھ کفر کیا جائے اور کفر سے نیچے جو کچھ ہے جسے چاہے معاف فرما دیتا ہے.
وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا.
اور جس نے خدا کا شریک ٹھہرایا اس نے بڑے گناہ کا طوفان باندھا.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ.
کیا تم نے انہیں نہ دیکھا جو خود اپنی سترائی بیان کرتے ہیں.
بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَن يَشَاءُ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا.
بلکہ اللہ جسے چاہے سترا کرے اور ان پر ظلم نہ ہوگا دانائے خرما کے ڈورے برابر.
انظر كيف يفترون على الله الكذب وكفى به اثما مبينا.
دیکھو کیسا اللہ پر جھوٹ باندھ رہے ہیں یہ کافی ہے صریح یعنی کھلا گناہ.
أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا نَصِيبًا مِنَ الْكِتَابِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْجِبْتِ وَالطَّاغُوتِ وَيَقُولُونَ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا هَؤُلَاءِ أَهْدَى مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا سَبِيلًا.
کیا تم نے وہ نہ دیکھے جنہیں کتاب کا ایک حصہ ملا ایمان لاتے ہیں بت اور شیطان پر اور کافروں کو کہتے ہیں کہ یہ مسلمانوں سے زیادہ راہ پر ہیں.
اولئک الذین لعنہم اللہ,
یہ ہے جن پر اللہ نے لعنت کی.
ومن یلعن اللہ فلن تجد له نصیرا,
اور جسے خدا لعنت کرے تو ہرگز اس کا کوئی یار نہ پائے گا.
ام لہم نصیب من الملک فاذا لا یؤتون الناس نقیرا,
کیا ملک میں ان کا کچھ حصہ ہے ایسا ہو تو لوگوں کو تل بھر نہ دے.
ام یحسدون الناس علی ما آتاہم اللہ من فضلہ,
یا لوگوں سے حسد کرتے ہیں اس پر جو اللہ نے انہیں اپنے فضل سے دیا.
فَقَدْ آتَيْنَا آلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مُلْكًا عَظِيمًا,
تو ہم نے تو ابراہیم کی اولاد کو کتاب اور حکمت عطا فرمائی اور انہیں بڑا ملک دیا.
فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ آمَنَ بِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ صَدَّ عَنْهُ وَكَفَى بِجَهَنَّمَ سَعِيرًا,
تو ان میں کوئی اس پر ایمان لایا اور کسی نے اس سے منہ پھیرا اور دوزخ کافی ہے بھڑکتی آگ.
اِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُصْلِيهِمْ نَارًا,
جنہوں نے ہماری آیتوں کا انکار کیا عن قریب ہم ان کو آگ میں داخل کریں گے.
كُلَّمَا نَضِجَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بَدَّلْنَاهُمْ جُلُودًا غَيْرَهَا لِيَذُوقُوا الْعَذَابَ,
جب کبھی ان کی کھالیں پک جائیں گی ہم ان کے سوا اور کھالیں انہیں بدل دیں گے کہ عذاب کا مزہ لیں.
اِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا,
بے شک اللہ غالب حکمت والا ہے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلى آله وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, Azzalil, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, we have listened to the glorious Quran. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, just listening, yes, Alhamdulillah, it's a good thing. Yes, it's a good thing. Alhamdulillah, that's the whole point of Madani Channel. But it's not enough. Even just watching Madani Channel is not enough, my dear viewers. We must go take time out and we must read. We must read. First, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we must read the Quran. We must know how to recite the glorious Quran. We must know what is in the glorious Quran. Read the Quran along with the translation. And by the way, the English translation can be found on the Dawat-e-Islami website, which is dawatislami.net. Please do read the English translation. It's translated from Kanzul Iman, the translation of the great Mujaddid, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Ridha Khan Bareilly rahimahullah ta'ala. Now, my dear viewers of the channel, this translation is now available in English, so please do read that. And there's also commentaries which are available in English too. Please do read the glorious Quran along with the translation and the commentary. But remember that whichever tafsir, whichever commentary you do read, it should be an authentic commentary. It should be a commentary which is authentic, inshallah, azza wa jal. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillah, yes, we have listened to the glorious Quran. We move on to Najshreef of the greatest of mankind, the peace of our hearts and minds, the most generous and kind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم.
تیرا 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 پردہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے حقیقت کے چہرے پر پردہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے.
شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے. شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ ہی کچھ ایسا ہے.
خم ہے یا آدم سے دو سکندر اس میں کیا حیرانی ہے. خم ہے یا آدم سے دو سکندر اس میں کیا حیرانی ہے.
ان کے غلاموں کا ہے اختر رتبہ بھی کچھ ایسا ہے. ان کے غلاموں کا ہے اختر رتبہ بھی کچھ ایسا ہے.
شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ بھی کچھ ایسا ہے. شہر نبی تیری گلیوں کا نقشہ بھی کچھ ایسا ہے.
جب تیرے قدم پڑے ہیں رسالت مآب کے جنت بنا ہوا ہے مدینہ حضور کا.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. دی ویوز اوف دی چینل الحمدللہ الحمدللہ. یو ار واچنگ رائز اینڈ شائن دس مارننگ. ناؤ مائی ڈیئر ویوز الحمدللہ عز وجل وی ہیو ٹو لسن ٹو اے ماشاءاللہ اے بیوٹیفل کلام اے بیوٹیفل نعت شریف آف دی گریٹسٹ آف مین کائنڈ دی پیس آف اور ہارٹس اینڈ مائنڈز the most generous and kind Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And today inshallah azzajal we shall learn something a little inshallah about one of the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. It stated that Hazrat Abu Ayyub radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That there are four things which are amongst the sunnahs of the anbiya alaihim assalatu wasalam, of all of the anbiya alaihim assalatu wasalam. There are four things which are from their sunnahs, which are from their practices. Number one is modesty is number one, my dear viewers. A practice of every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one is modesty. Number two is applying fragrance. Please try to learn this. Number one is Allahu Akbar, modesty, haya, modesty. Number two is applying fragrance. Number three is the use of the miswak. And inshallah, this is what we shall be speaking about today. The miswak, my dear viewers, inshallah. And number four is nikah, marriage. This is a sunnah of the anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam. Obviously, with exceptions. For example, Hazrat Isa alayhi as-salatu wasalam, the great prophet Hazrat Isa alayhi as-salatu wasalam. Now this fourth one, right now, it does not apply to him. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam was never married. He never married, my dear viewers. But inshallah azza wa jal, when Hazrat Isa alayhi salam shall return, as we've been told throughout the Ahadith Sharif, and yes, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, first we must remember, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is not dead, he did not pass away. No, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he was not crucified on the cross, my dear viewers, but rather he was raised to the heavens. and he is now in the second heaven. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam shall return. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam shall return back to the earth towards the end of times, my dear viewers. And after whatever happens, a long story, which I'm sure we've mentioned previously, then Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam shall marry, and then he shall pass away. And by passing away of a prophet is something which I've also explained before, my dear viewers, that the passing away of a prophet is not the same as passing away of anybody else. Yes, their soul is taken. Every person must taste death, my dear viewers. But just as they were in the world, they similarly, in the Akhirah, they also possess the same authority. They're able to do things. And in fact, even within the glorious Quran, it's stated that do not call those people dead. Do not call them amwat. Do not call them like dead. But ahya'un fi quburihim. But rather they are alive in their graves. And there are also many other ahadith sharif proving this, that the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are alive in their graves. Now, many of you, if you get into that topic, I'm thinking it's going to be long and we're going to go away from our topic for today. Our topic for today is the miswak. But remember, every prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from amongst their sunnahs, was what? Number one was haya, modesty. Number two was applying fragrance. Now, in fact, something which is beautiful in regards to this. One is modesty, my dear viewers. Some people think modesty is not a good thing. And in fact, this is a topic for another day too. Inshallah, I intend to speak about just modesty another day, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. But one being modest, we must be modest. We must be modest, my dear viewers. And number two, applying fragrance. And what's beautiful about this is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is himself. He smelled so beautiful. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beautiful fragrance which emanated, it wasn't a man-made fragrance, no. It was the blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it wouldn't release any bad smell. When a person, let's say for example, a person sweating, his armpits are all wet, Allahu Akbar. And you know, if you come close to him, you're like, this person, he smells. My dear viewers, this is what happens for any normal person. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not normal. He's not normal. He's the greatest, khayru khalqillah. He is the greatest of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever comes, emanates from his body, it smells beautiful. It smells bitter than fragrance. But yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use fragrance to stress, to show us the importance of using, of applying fragrance, my dear viewers. Yes, we should use, for example, the itar, as we would call it. We should use fragrance, inshallah azza wa jalla. Remember, if you were to use this with the intention, it is the sunnah of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah azza wa jalla, you shall also be rewarded. So that's the second thing, my dear viewers. One, haya. Second, using of fragrance. Although Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't need it, as I said. And in fact, it said that the companions, they would take bottles and they would, if there would be any sweat, for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would say the blessed sweat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam emanating from his body, they would collect it in bottles. And this would be used as fragrance itself. But even then, my dear viewers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would use fragrance. Allahu Akbar. So let's, inshallah, us try to act upon that. Number three, the miswak. And this shall be today's topic, which we shall be speaking about. Number four is nikah, marriage. That's something which is also for a separate topic, my dear viewers. The nikah is min sunnati Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you should perform. Some people think, no, I'm going to abstain. You know, abstinence, they're going to refrain from it. But no, this is good, it's rewardable, and sometimes it becomes necessary for a person to, again, that's not our topic, but remember, these four things are from the sunnahs of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for their sake. But the third one mentioned in this hadith sharif was the sunnah of the miswak. Now there's a beautiful story mentioned in regards to the miswak. And this is said about Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This great individual, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It said that Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would split his life into three, yearly, by year. So one year he would travel to Hajj. And some people would be thinking, well, one year he would travel to Hajj, you know, that only takes what? 3 weeks? 2 weeks? Some people, not even that. Some people would go very quick. But generally, minimum people will go for 2 weeks or so. Others will go for 3 weeks, will go for 4 weeks, will go for a month. Some people will go for 2 or 3 months. But my dear viewers on Madani Channel, Allahu Akbar, when in them days when people would go to perform Hajj, it would not just be call somebody, book my ticket, done. I'm just going to go get on a plane and I'll arrive there tomorrow. Well, or maybe even arrive there tonight, depending on when you leave. And inshallah, then maybe tomorrow's the day for Hajj or something along these lines, it may be, my dear viewers. That's it. Spend some days there, spend a week. Sometimes we'll go for 2 weeks just to spend more time there. But remember, we must go to Makkah al-Mukarramah and al-Madinah al-Munawwarah. This is something which is very, very important. Because from amongst the greatest pillars of Hajj, yes, of Hajj, is visiting the blessed shrine of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that man hajj al-bayt, he who went and visited, he who went and performed the pilgrimage, he who went and performed the pilgrimage, and then he did not visit me, then he has been faqad jafani, then he has been disloyal to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. And the scholars, they write that this is one of the pillars of Umrah or Hajj, to go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, now just that there, so first going towards Makkah al-Mukarramah. Imagine from here, if we were to go, there was to be no planes, there was to be ships which wouldn't go as fast as they would nowadays, wouldn't be as safe too as they are nowadays. But my dear viewers, nevertheless, how long would it take? Much of the journey, if we were to do it rather than in a car even, there was only to be horses or camels or donkeys, or some would have to walk. Then how long would it take? It would take months just to get there. And then my dear viewers of Madani Channel, after having performed the Hajj, and yes, even performing the Hajj itself, so much walking, resting in between. And then if we were to return, it would possibly take months too. So this is like an entire year spent on Hajj. Hajj was not a little thing where I'll just decide, Allahu Akbar. I think when I decided to go to Hajj, it was just last minute. I was thinking, yes, subhanAllah, I want to go to Hajj. I'm going to go to Hajj. And this is generally what happens. Some people, they don't know. One day they're thinking, next day they think, oh, I want to go on Hajj too. And that's it. They buy a ticket, you go there, and then you could come back very soon. You carry on life. You've possibly just taken 2 to 3 weeks off work. And then you could just continue with your work. This is all it is. But previously, what would people do? They would spend so much time. And again, I'm diverting off our topic. Allahu Akbar. But yes, this was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what he says. He says that he would spend 1 year for Hajj. 1 year for Hajj. The next year, he would go and spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the third year, he would give dars of Islamic knowledge. So this would continue. So then the next year, again, he would go on Hajj. And then the year after that, again, he would go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the sixth year, again, he would give dars of Islamic knowledge. So this is what he did. He had split his life in three. Once, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, he took part in a battle. And they went to take a particular fortress. They attempted to conquer one fortress. but they were not able to conquer the fortress. They were considered it would be very, very difficult for them. So now he began to think, he began to become worried. He was worried that what is the reason? Why is it that we are not able to take this fortress? What's the reason for this? He returns that night, and in them days, how it would be is it would a fighting in a battle would only take place during the day. And this was changed by some brilliant leaders, some brilliant commanders, but that's again another topic, my dear viewers. But generally, it would only be during the day. And when night would approach, then they would return back to their tents, the place where they were staying. So he returns back to his tent, and in this worried state, he goes to sleep. When he goes to sleep, my dear viewers of Mandani Channel, he is blessed to see the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, in his dream. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, and remember that when a person, man ra'ani fil manami faqad ra'ani haqqan, that he who saw, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this, he who saw me in his dream, then indeed he has seen me. The shaitan can never take the form of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that he has come in his dream, and he sees Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radhiallahu ta'ala anhu in the dream of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radhiallahu anhu, and he says to him, "What is the reason you are so worried?" Hazrat Abdullah radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replies, he says that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are trying our best, we are exerting all our effort to conquer this fortress, but we are not able to do it." He says, "I am worried, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam says, he says that, "O Abdullah, perform wudu," meaning the wudu, the ablution, "perform ablution with the miswak, and make sure you use the miswak. You've not been using the miswak. Perform ablution and use the miswak." Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak radhiallahu ta'ala anhu, he awakes from his dream, he performs his ablution, he performs the miswak, and all of those, the rest of the people too, who get up for salah, he orders them all, he tells them all to use miswak. He says, "Don't forget the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, using the miswak. Use the miswak." Now everybody begins to use the miswak. From within the fortress, the people are overlooking, and they're looking at the Muslim, and they see that, what are these Muslims doing? It seems like they are sharp. Are they sharpening their teeth? He runs back to the rest of the people, and he goes and tells them, he sees these people, they're sharpening their teeth. They're going to eat us. They're getting ready to eat us. Allahu Akbar. And these views of Madri Channel, these people, I think in these people, you know, they're sharpening, they're going to eat us. I said, "Let's give up." And they give up and they hand it over to them. Now, Madri views of Madri Channel, they were not sharpening their teeth. What were they doing? They were simply cleaning their teeth. This is not something the non-Muslims were aware of. The non-Muslims would not do this. Yes, really. They would not do this. This was a act, alhamdulillah, which Islam teaches us. A act of the prophets, those who follow the prophets, the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wasalam, cleaning the teeth. People were not bothered about cleaning, my dear viewers. But nevertheless, due to using the miswak, acting upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened? This worry of theirs disappeared. This struggle of theirs, this fear, this obstacle in their way, finished, was omitted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted them success. By virtue of what? By virtue of using the blessed miswak. The miswak, which is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Inshallah, let's go to our daily reminder, and then I shall speak a little more about the miswak, the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi وعلى آله وسلم. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Unfortunately, my dear Islamic brothers, without the self-control of the nafs, a good many of us are infected by showing off. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Allah Azzawajal has made paradise haram for every show-off. Now, what is showing off? It is using words or actions to impress people. It is possible to show off in three ways. One, in faith. Two, in worldly matters. And three, in worship. Someone who makes worship apparent in exchange for fame will be humiliated on the Day of Judgment. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, whoever acts for fame, Allah Azzawajal will humiliate him. Whoever shows off with his deeds, Allah Azzawajal will torment him. My dear Islamic brothers, before beginning any good deed, take a long, hard look at your heart and ask yourself, am I doing this for the sole pleasure of Allah, or am I doing this to please others? And then reflect and reframe and change that intention and make sure that you do that good deed solely to please Allah Azzawajal.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us within the glorious Quran, the translation of the Kanz al-Iman is indeed following the noble Rasul of Allah is better for you. This is the translation of Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Rida Khan rahimallahu ta'ala. And this is what we have been told within the glorious Quran, that it's better for us to follow in the footsteps the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We have been ordered this within the glorious Quran. We also learn that using the miswak is from the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is from amongst those sunnahs, my dear viewers, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would rarely miss. He would rarely miss, my dear viewers. And he would tell the companions, he would really encourage the companions to use the miswak. So much so, Hazrat Ali al-Murtada karmallahu wajhahu al-Kareem tells us that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he did not see that it may become a difficulty, it may become difficult for the ummah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have made it farz upon us to use the miswak. Just imagine this. Well, the one great lesson we learn from this is what? That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also possesses authority. That if he wished, he could have made it farz upon us. But he saw how difficult it may have been. Now imagine this. We need to perform our Zuhr Salah today. We are on a journey. And this is an example. We are on a journey. We need to perform our Zuhr Salah. We don't have a miswak with us. We forgot, we left our miswak at home. Imagine it was farz for us to use the miswak. What would we do? Imagine we were in a rush. We need to quickly perform our ablution. Or we have to use the miswak. How difficult would it be? Really, how difficult would it be to always, for every prayer, five times a day, use the miswak? It would become very difficult, my dear viewers. But yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that, if I didn't understand how difficult it would have been for the ummah,
then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us he would have made it obligatory. This shows us the importance of using the miswak. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look in this day and age, my dear viewers. Now think about it, by the way, that nowadays there's so much emphasis. There's so much emphasis on brushing our teeth, and rightly so, there should be. You know, we should clean our teeth. When we wake up in the morning, we should brush our teeth. Before going to bed, we should brush our teeth. Generally, people brush their teeth twice. Some people would brush their teeth three times. But that's just twice or thrice, my dear viewers. Rarely would people brush their teeth four times unless there's a particular reason. Unless there's a particular reason. But yet in our deen, we have been told over 1400 years ago, even before people would even brush their teeth once, we have been told what? To clean, to brush our teeth. And yes, it's still brushing. To brush our teeth, not once, not twice, not thrice, not four times, but five times. But five times. With every ablution, for every ablution you perform, clean your teeth. Nowadays, the amount of money which is being spent, you would think toothbrushes are cheap, but then you get, nowadays you get electric toothbrushes, and their prices range from, you know, from £20 or so to a few hundred pounds. This is without exaggeration. They go up, you know, easily more than even a few hundred pounds for a toothbrush. And then there's so many types of toothpaste. Different types of toothpaste which will be out there. And what's placed in this toothpaste? That's something you could do your own research on. I'm not going to suddenly and say this toothpaste is not good for you, or what is in these toothpaste which are being used. There's things which are bad for our health, really. Things which even is said that cause cancer, even within these. And then the amount of money spent within these paste, that when we brush it, it has this this bubbly type to it, this foam which comes. We find this with our shampoo. So we'll place shampoo on our head, and when we rub it, what will happen? There'll be all this foam which comes up. Now this is just extra placed in the shampoo. And what's the reason for this? It's not to make our hair better, even within the toothpaste. It's only so you think. It's only for us psychologically. We think if there's all that foam, then our hair is being cleaned properly. If there's no foam, then maybe our hair is not being cleaned properly. So they spend so much money just to make that property, just to make it such that there's so much foam at everyone. So there are all of these things being placed within our toothpaste, all of this money being spent on it. And it's the truth, when rather, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has naturally provided us with toothbrush. And you think, what about the toothpaste? Allahu Akbar. I have known of some people who have used toothpaste with the miswak. Now, my dear viewers of Madani channel, the miswak is so brilliant, and really we find that even within the miswak, it has its own toothpaste. It has within it its own toothpaste, which is better than ours. And brushing the teeth does cause harm to the gums. Sometimes it does. That's why there's so many different types of toothbrushes nowadays. You know, some which do cause harm to the gums. And you get various types, depending on the state of your gums. But in comparison to brushing with the toothbrush, the miswak is so much better. Because there are so many other benefits in it too. It said that a person was suffering from depression, he used the miswak. He was suffering from depression, he used the miswak, and he was cured from his depression. And if he was, there are so many benefits, psychological benefits in using the miswak. There is so much, it's very, very good. Use the miswak, it said, is good for the stomach. For illnesses of the stomach, using the miswak is good. And generally cleaning the teeth is important anyway, because when your teeth are dirty, it's going to bring about illnesses. So one thing is brush your teeth, clean your teeth. Clean your teeth. Secondly, my dear viewers, use the miswak. And some people will be thinking, where in these days, where can I get the miswak from? Alhamdulillah, they are sold. And for those in the United Kingdom, there's no excuse. Alhamdulillah, they're sold in many. If you go to any Islamic store, you will find that, and possibly any, there may be some exceptions, but you will find that in most of them, they will sell the miswak. And it will not be very expensive. You won't have to spend £10, £50, £100, £200, no, my dear viewers. It'll possibly cost a pound or so, even if that, possibly not even that, for you to buy, purchase a miswak. And don't think, whatever the cost is, don't think it's expensive. It's stated that a pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the name of Hazrat Abdul Wahhab Sha'rani rahmallahu ta'ala, he says that Hazrat Abu Bakr Shibli Baghdadi rahmallahu ta'ala, he once was performing his ablution. And whenever he performs his ablution, what does he do? He uses the miswak. He acts upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, once he was in a situation where he could not find his miswak. He could not find his miswak. Where was his miswak? He could not find where it was. So it said that because he couldn't find his miswak, he decided to purchase a miswak. And he purchased a miswak for a gold coin, for a dinar. Now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, there's a huge difference between a dirham and a dinar. It's kind of like you can say pennies and pounds. But a dirham is silver, dinar is a gold coin. But depending on the time, for example, I'm not sure about this Sheikh, Hazrat Abu Bakr Shibli Baghdadi rahmallahu ta'ala, I'm not sure of the currency at that time, what it was worth. Because as with every currency, it fluctuates, its worth goes up or down. You could say for nowadays, it would be worth £500, one dinar. For nowadays, would be worth approximately £500, if I remember correctly, my dear viewers. £500. But depending on this sheikh and where he was, it would have possibly been less than that time because that was the peak. But nevertheless, whatever the price, let's just say it was 100 dinar. Let's just say it was £100. Imagine spending £100 for a miswak. Allahu Akbar. £100 for a miswak. £100 is a lot of money. And we think for a miswak, £100 for a miswak, you think, are you having a laugh? No, really. He gave a gold coin, which is possibly more than £100, for a miswak. And the people around him, even they were shocked. That's not how much it was worth at that time. They were shocked. They said that, oh Sheikh, you give a gold coin for a miswak? Allahu Akbar. And his reply, what was his reply? He says that this world, along with everything that it contains, is not even worth that of the wing of a mosquito in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to ask me on the day of judgment, Abu Bakr Shibli, why did you miss the sunnah of using the miswak, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, how shall I answer on the day of judgment? What's a gold coin? A gold coin is nothing. And these are people, don't like nowadays, we just say it. You say, this money is not going to go into the grave with us. Everybody, it's a line out, it's quite a famous line. People say, they do not act upon it, they just say it. People love saying, money is nothing. It's not going to go to the grave with us. What's money? What's some pounds or some hundreds of pounds. People say this. But one thing is saying it, and another is really meaning it. Really meaning it. For him to give a gold coin, just for a miswak. And I'm saying, yes, just for a miswak. Allahu Akbar. This shows that to them, the value of the miswak was much more than the value of the money. These are the signs, these are the shuyukh, the great awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The great, not what we call sheikh nowadays, no. These were true people who had given up the world, given up everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in order to follow and act upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. But if it was a Madrasa channel, each and every single day we have our daily hadith sharif, let's listen to today's hadith sharif. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, today's daily hadith is about a great attribute, a great quality, which is sabr, which is patience. This is something which everybody does have, some more than others. Patience brings about a lot of blessings to its observer. More specifically, today's daily hadith is about the best time to carry out patience. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ إِنَّ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى. No doubt, it is easily understandable that true patience is to remain calm during the first strike of any calamity or any problem that befalls us. So the lead up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this was as they were passing by a woman who was weeping beside the grave. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, ittaqillah wasbiri, be mindful of Allah and be patient. To which the woman who did not recognize Rasulullah, she said, go away, for you have not been afflicted like the calamity I have been afflicted with. When later she was told that this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she went to their home to apologize and to explain that she had not recognized them. To which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ إِنَّ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى, that patience is at the first stroke of the calamity. Dear viewers of Madani channel, this is something for us to reflect upon. How do we react when a calamity, a problem, a illness falls upon us? Do we start complaining? Do we start whining? Do we really put aside all the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has bestowed upon us, and many of them blessings that we have not even asked for? Or do we manage to control our emotions and attain the blessings and the reward of sabr? Indeed, viewers of Madani channel, patience is an extremely rewarding and a comprehensive virtue in Islam itself. It is a light, a nur that develops in the heart of a believer. We should try to develop this skill. No doubt it is a difficult and a testing task, because in the heat of the moment we tend to lose patience, but we can aid ourselves by reminding ourselves and pondering over the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the patient people. And then we also have the beautiful words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for those who try to be patient, مَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ وَمَا أُعْتِيَ أَحَدٌ أَطَاءً هُوَ خَيْرٌ وَأَوْسَأُ مِنَ الصَّبَرُ, that whoever tries to be patient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him patience, and there is no better gift than the gift of patience. So the term patience itself is very broad. It can apply to many things. Patience in following the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, patience in fulfilling the rights of the people, patience in avoiding sins and in carrying out disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there is patience with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By practicing patience in all these aspects, we can to some extent guarantee and assure ourselves from loss, not only in this world but also in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this great ni'mah, this great trait of patience. Ameen, bijahi an-nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Reviews of Matani channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. MashaAllah, that was our respected Abdullah Madani sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Our daily hadith sharif, mashallah, he told us about. Now we have a special guest today, mashallah. What makes him so special? Alhamdulillah, he's just special as he is. Alhamdulillah, azzawajal. You don't have to be from somewhere far to be special, no. But alhamdulillah, those who are far, they are special. Those who are close to us, physically, they are special too. Anybody doing the work of the deen, alhamdulillah, they are special. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our efforts. All those people who are doing the work of the deen, alhamdulillah, those with sincerity, those who are not doing it with sincerity, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me sincerity. And those who are doing it with sincerity, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it too, inshallah, azza wa jal. But this guest is from Birmingham, Madi Views of Madani channel. It is none other than our respected Abdul Hannan bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Abdul Hannan bhai, how are you? I hope you are well.
Alhamdulillah, Shabazz bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Abdul Hannan bhai, now speaking about the miswak sharif, the blessed sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, what do you have to say? Again, I'm going to leave it open for you.
I'm glad that you left it open today. Normally you would find, you know, just before coming onto the silsila, I was thinking to myself, well, Shabazz bhai is going to ask me, did you use the miswak today?
Allah.
And I thought I better use it before Shabazz bhai fires at me. Shabazz bhai, mashallah, you know, maswak, such a blessed sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much to be said, but I just want to generally give a proof of, you know, naturally how the people who use it and the people who are far away from it, you will see a huge difference. Anyone who's following the sunnah of the miswak, even some people might not even be following it as a form of a sunnah, but they will still be benefiting. And normally what you'll find is in the third world countries where they don't have, people are not using toothbrushes, they're not using toothpaste. And what they're using is a twig from a tree, or the roots of the tree.
Is this true? Is this really the situation? For example, as far as I'm just thinking, whenever I've traveled, I've seen, for example, throughout, you know, Pakistan is considered amongst the poorer countries generally. Now, for example, even when you go there, you find that people have toothbrushes. When you go to, I'm just thinking, other places, as far as I'm aware, toothbrushes are found very, very cheap. It's not something which is really expensive. It might just be as easy as even the miswak itself. Is that true, that there are people who do not have toothbrushes? I know, because the quality of the toothbrushes would be different. For example, I normally when I do take a toothbrush, if I'll go abroad, I'll get a toothbrush to take with me. I wouldn't use the toothbrush there. Why? Because I'm familiar with these toothbrushes. I'm not saying these are better than theirs or anything. No, I'm familiar with these and I prefer to use these ones. But we always find that the toothbrush there too.
Yes, Shabazz bhai, there are places in the world where you won't, and I'm talking about really poor countries in the middle of villages or like in deserts, where people don't have this type of facility. They probably don't have the they don't have a local shop nearby. So even in some parts of the countries where like the village life, they don't really focus on buying toothpastes or having toothbrushes. They don't like to use it. Why? Because they've brought up in a culture where they've been using miswak, or they've been using a twig of a tree. And that's an example was one. I was in Pakistan, and one of my cousins, he says, oh, I need to go and get a muswak. So I just tagged along with him thinking, okay, you know, he's going to go and go to a shop to buy one. And he went looking, and he went into this place where there was a lot of trees, and he went to one specific tree. He cut off a branch, and then he cut a couple of them branches, and he brought them home. And on the way back, he washed it, and he started to use it, and he goes, this is what I use. And I thought, whoa, you know, how people are sort of connected to using a simple method. And even if you go to some parts of Africa and them parts of the world where people, you find that them people are not using toothbrushes or toothpaste. But nevertheless, some people just have a habit of using like a muswak, the easiness of it for them and how they find it more beneficial. And you'll probably find that their teeth are shining white and strong. And they probably never heard of a dentist in some of these poor countries. And us here, we have maybe all the facilities, we have electric toothbrushes and all these types of toothpaste. And at the same time, half of our tooths are falling out. We've got this one filling in one. We've got one tooth missing here. And on top of that, we're getting toothaches and tooth pains all the time. So yeah, all this is happening. Why? Because we are away from a simple method, a simple sunnah of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And alhamdulillah, the benefit is in the sunnah. And if it wasn't benefit, there's one thing I want for the viewers to focus towards as well, and also Shabazz by yourself. You know, if there wasn't a benefit in the muswak, you know, nowadays you will find that a toothpaste which has been made, which is made from muswak, so they use what is in the muswak itself, and they made a toothpaste out of it. I don't know if you've seen it. Well, you've come across
never.
It. Yes, you'll find it that a toothpaste, some Islamic shops. So next time you go to an Islamic shop, just ask them, do you have a muswak toothpaste? And they'll probably give you one. Oh yes, it's there. And you know, they're actually using the particles or the things which is in a muswak to make a toothpaste out of it. It's amazing. But from my personal experience, what I've seen, I've traveled to different countries and even parts of Africa and also in South Africa where I've seen poor people living in villages in tin houses, and you will find that they won't be, they'll have a muswak either in their pocket or, you know, holding it in their hand, and they're using this sort of this toothbrush, and they're using it quite commonly as well. That's the other thing, Shabazz Bhai. You know, sadly, the reason why we might not be benefiting from it, we're just using it just to fulfill a ritual or just to make it, I've used the miswak, and that's it. We don't probably, Amir Le Sunnah Damat Barkat Maradia, he touches upon how to use a miswak. Now, a lot of the viewers probably will be, if I'm not wrong, that we wouldn't have a clue how to use a muswak.
How do we use the muswak?
How do we use the muswak is like from...
How do we use the muswak?
Let me tell you how we use it first. Just rushing really from one side to the other and you know, just up and down, or maybe just like sometimes people use the toothbrush in the same way as well. It's so quick. Oh, they even end up damaging their gums and stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to use it with gentleness. We have to use it with, ease and relaxing. With the muswak, using from the starting from the right, from the upper teeth, and then the bottom teeth going down and going across rather than up and down. So waving the muswak up and down, this will damage your gums. And it's, you know, the beauty of the muswak is it reaches them places. In your tooth, where a toothbrush won't reach, because the sort of particles on the muswak are so tiny, and the way some muswaks are so unique and a lot better than others as well. In the sense, they're very easy to use. So, alhamdulillah, we should try to get into a habit. And Amir Le Sunnah Damat Barkatum Laliyah is reminding us and time to time tries to put us into all the habit. And if you look at the Nek Amal, this is a booklet which is a questionnaire of doing good actions. Amil Sunnat in that mentions that, did you use a muswak today? So it's a daily accountability of a specific action which we should try to do on a daily basis. Sadly, people would probably use a muswak maybe once a month, or maybe when they're on a journey, if they carry a muswak. Why? Because they don't really want to be carrying a toothbrush in their pocket.
Yes, it's true. Even, for example, our elderly, now what their age might be, Abdul Hanan bhai, the age might be 60, 70, 80 years of age, but they'll still have their teeth, alhamdulillah. And if they were to bite into something, now there would be something which we would be scared to bite into. You may think, I don't want to end up losing my tooth. And they'll be able to bite into things which we are not able to do. Allahu Akbar, this, subhanAllah, this is, yes, they do, people elderly, they do use the miswak. And there's also another thing, a lot, and generally most of the women, they would use this, they would use the sakra, and that's also very good for the teeth. There's also particular leaves, which are very, very good to make the teeth shine. Yes, it is healthy, it is good for the teeth, my dear viewers of the show. So these things, alhamdulillah, we find within our practices, the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the miswak, for example, and he's also told us how to use it, how not to use it. Begin from the right, and generally people they are encouraged, aren't we, to brush our teeth for 2 minutes, my dear viewers of the channel. Do it 3 times regularly. Don't put too much strength into it. Don't think you're going to clean it all in one day. It's not going to happen. If you've not been cleaning your teeth, just make it regular, make it consistent. Inshallah, automatically your teeth will be clean. Allah Akbar, Abdul Hanamba, I will show you my teeth, but you'll say I'm showing off. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Abdul Hanamba. Jazakallahu khairah for your time. We are already coming towards the end of the program. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all your du'as, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, inshallah, accept all your struggles, all your hardships, your spreading of the deen too, inshallah, azza wa jal. Abdul Hanan bhai, jazakallahu khaira. But if you don't mind, inshallah, we don't have very long left. Let's quickly go to our kids package. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A teacher used to often say to his students, the religion of Islam is very precious, and the one who died on Islam succeeded in the test of life. One day, a student's shoe had ripped, so he went to a cobbler and said, brother, please repair my shoe. In return of this, I will tell you an important ruling of Islam. The cobbler replied, son, keep your ruling to yourself. I want money, nothing else. The student did not have any money. The cobbler did not agree at all and did not repair the shoe without money. The student came back to the teacher, told him the entire account and said, people have no value for the religion. The teacher was wise. He thought that let me explain to him through a practical demonstration. So he said, okay, do one thing. This is a pearl. Take it to the vegetable market and find out its price. The student took that pearl and went to the vegetable market. He asked a vegetable seller, brother, what is the price of this pearl? The seller replied, buy some lemons in exchange of it. My children will play with this pearl. The student came back to the teacher and said, sir, the price of the pearl is only a few lemons. The teacher replied, now find out its price from a jeweler. The student went to the jewelry market with the pearl. He entered the first shop and said to the jeweler, brother, what is the price of this pearl? The jeweler was astonished to see the pearl. He said to the student, even if I give you my entire shop for this pearl, even then I will not be able to pay you the price of this pearl. The student came back to his teacher and told him the entire account. The teacher listened to the whole account and said, what we learn from this whole event is that only a jeweler knows the worth of a diamond. Similarly, only he who knows the excellences and benefits of the knowledge of deen will appreciate the knowledge of deen. Saying of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whomsoever Allah Almighty intends good for, He bestows them with the understanding of deen. And only those who fear Allah Almighty amongst His bondmen who possess knowledge.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, we have been listening to a few fada'il of the Miswak, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. Please do try to regularly use the Miswak Sharif. Remember, even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in his last moments, his head was resting on the lap of Hazrat Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha. He saw a companion, Hazrat Abdul Rahman radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, he had the miswak, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't even able to speak. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gestures towards it, and they understand that he wants the miswak, he wants to use the miswak. And then it was softened for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even at that moment, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had used the miswak sharif. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, please do make the intention, inshallah, to begin. Now remember the miswak, inshallah, things I shall mention about it. Now, one thing, it shouldn't be too long. It shouldn't be no longer than a handspan. No longer than a handspan, your miswak shouldn't be longer. It shouldn't be too thin. So the thickness of your small finger should be approximately the thickness of the miswak sharif. When you use it, there's also a method of using it, but inshallah, maybe you can look back, go and download the Risala from the Dawat Islami website, and inshallah, there's all the information you shall find, which you need, all the information, inshallah, you shall find within there. And different people would keep the miswak in different places. The miswak, you can even keep, I've seen how some builders, they keep pens on the ear. They will keep a pen on the ear. Why? Because whenever they are to be marking something, they could just take it from the ear, mark it, and then put it back. And the reason I'm referring to the left ear, because it said that place your miswak on your left ear, those who carry it with them. I do not carry my miswak with me. Maybe I will one day, inshallah, wa azza wa jal. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, as much as possible, please do use the miswak. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, you have been watching Rise and Shine. Inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, tomorrow we shall be returning, my dear viewers, for more Rise and Shine. For now, continue to watch Madani Channel. Continue to send salawat upon the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.